Man, hallelujah. God, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. So good to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you that you are fighting our battles for us. Lord, on the cross, you said it is finished. You've already won the battle, oh God. So we thank you, Lord, for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. And we don't fight the way the world fights. We fight on our knees. We fight with our hands closed and our eyes closed, and our hands lifted up to the sky. Say, Lord, we need you, oh God, to fight our battles. We need you. And only you, oh God. We need your presence. We need your love, oh God. Fill us, Lord, today. Open up our hearts and our minds as the word comes forth. Speak it to us, oh God. Mold us and change us, oh God. Make us more to the image of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you that the church is victorious, because no matter what happens, oh God, you are still on the throne. You are still God. You are not moved, oh God. You are who you are. You are I am. And you've always been, and you always will be. And so, Lord, today we come in that aspect, in that mindset, and to worship you and to acknowledge who you are in this place and in our lives, that you are I am. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way in this place, oh Lord. Amen. 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 So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to be amongst other brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping together. This is what the church was created for, amen. This is whenever Jesus came to die on this on the cross. He came also to establish the church. He came to bring unification, amen. And what a glorious thing it is when we can come together and just lift up our Lord in one accord, singing praises unto him and hearing the word of God. Such a beautiful thing it is. Amen. And so today we want to continue our series. It's called Reset. And so my wife kicked off this series last week and just talking about repentance and how really we should look at all of our lives. We should all examine ourselves and say, God, you know, search me out, oh God. And I repent of all evil. I repent of all sin. I repent of anything that is not pleasing unto you. And so today we want to just continue this Reset series, but we want to talk something about a little different, and the title of this one is just simply called Rebuild. Rebuild. Anybody ever built anything before? I love building stuff. I love using my hands to build stuff. I love drilling my hands with stuff. a little accident that happened. Anyway, but I love building things. And so today we're going to be looking at the book of Ezra, and we're going to be examining how God put it upon the hearts of the Jews to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, because it was destroyed by the Babylonians in around 606 BC. So that's roughly 606 years before Christ came. That's a long time ago, right? And so the Babylonians came and invaded Jerusalem, burned it down to the ground, destroyed all the walls, all the city. It was completely annihilated. The temple where they used to worship God was also destroyed, and it lied in ruins. And so whenever the Lord decided that he was going to do something about this, and that he raised up a man, and he raised up a generation of people. First of all, he raised up a king, and the king's name was King Cyrus, all right? And so the Lord would use King Cyrus, and he put it upon King Cyrus's heart to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because King Cyrus, he didn't have like a specific religion of any kind, and so it's just incredible that he felt the need to rebuild the temple of God, the temple where the Lord of heaven, the God of all creation, he said, that's the temple we need to rebuild. And so even though he didn't have a specific religion, the Lord put it upon his heart to make a decree to allow the Jews to go back and rebuild. But meanwhile, the Jews were in exile. And so not only was their city destroyed, but they were brought to a place called Babylon. Now, It was a very distant land from where they were accustomed to. They lived among a foreign people who spoke a foreign language, who worshiped foreign gods. You know, the Israelites were accustomed to worshiping the God of Israel, but now all of a sudden they're in this place, and they're surrounded with people who do not like them, for one thing, and they are worshiping false gods, and they're distanced from their home. But the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord always raises up a man of God in the midst of a crisis, and he raises up this man named Jeremiah just to kind of encourage those who were in exile to Babylon. And so just a part of this letter that Jeremiah writes to him, he says, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So the Lord gives them an instruction. Continue to build homes. Continue to raise your families. Continue to do those things which you did in Jerusalem, but now you're doing them for the benefit of Babylon. You're in a distant land. You're to continue farming those lands. You're continue using your craft and using your skill. And I believe the reason was so because I believe the Lord, he didn't want the Israelites, first of all, to die off. And so he told them to reproduce. But also, he wanted them to work that skill and to teach that skill to someone else, because the Lord knew that he was going to eventually bring them back to Jerusalem and that they had to be skilled workers whenever it came to rebuilding the temple. And so he tells them, work for the good of the city. Work for the good. And as you do, that it's really in your best interest in the long run. So the Israelites, they find themselves in a place where they're not able to worship the Lord as they once did, you know, in the temple. They're not able to offer the sacrifices as they did in, so freely in Jerusalem. You know, and so that in itself must have been really hard. To not be able to do those things. And when we think about the temple and how it was destroyed, the temple was more than just a building for the Jews. It was more than just a building. It was a place of culture. It was a place where community came together, that they brought their sacrifices to the Lord, and the priests would take those sacrifices and prepare those sacrifices and burn those sacrifices on the altar. You had other priests who would read the Torah out loud, and you had those who were gathered to listen to the Torah being read. It was a place where communities came together, and they used their talents and they used their giftings to glorify God. So you can see whenever this temple in Jerusalem is just destroyed, how much this would have been a burden, you know, to the Jews at this time. But during it may have seemed like everything was lost during this time, and they would remain in exile for a good 70 years. Now we were in quarantine, lockdown for about 2 months. All right, about 2 months roughly, that you were not able to go anywhere and that you were confined to your house. You were not able to come to the house of the Lord as you were accustomed to coming to the house of the Lord. You were not able to worship with your brothers and sisters as we were accustomed to worshiping with our brothers and sisters for 2 months. But the Israelites, they were in captivity for 70 years. I'm not even 70 yet. I'm about to turn 40. That's a long time. And so your mindset over that period of time begins to change. You begin to grow accustomed to your new surroundings. Let's look at it. And so the Lord raises up this man named King Cyrus of Persia. And so this was roughly about 538 BC, 538 years before Christ. So in Ezra chapter 1, verse 2, we're going to start right there. It says this: thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. And so not only does King Cyrus give the decree to allow all the Jews to come back and rebuild the temple, he also gives them permission to leave. He says, you are free to move about the country. You are free to go back to Jerusalem, and you are free to go and rebuild. You have this freedom to go and do so. And besides that, he says, look, I'm also going to give you the provision. Whatever you need to rebuild the house of the Lord, I'm going to provide for you. And so not only were they had this permission through this decree, but yet everything that they needed to rebuild this temple was provided to them. Don't you know that's how God works? That God will give you a task, or he will give you a vision. He will give you a mission. He will give you a purpose. He will give you the authority to accomplish that mission and that purpose. And then he will make the provision for you down the road. Because ultimately, whenever God calls you, he will provide for you. Amen. And so amen. Yes. That's good right there. Write that down. Put that on your refrigerator. Look at it. Look at it in the mirror every morning. How? Because whenever God calls you, he's also going to provide for you. And that is something that we have held on to as pastors. We believe that God has placed such a calling even on this place. And we don't see it right now, but we know that he has given us the authority through Christ Jesus our Lord to do what we are doing. And he has given us the provision to accomplish that which he has put in our hearts. Amen. So the king tells them to go rebuild. He gives them permission. He makes provision for them. Now, it's interesting here. Besides giving all that, he says, look, I know besides giving you the silver and the gold and to make the temple, you're going to need some people. You're going to need some people who will help you rebuild this temple. You can't do it by yourself. And so he says, look, whoever is willing, whoever hears the voice of the Lord, whoever says, whoever is stirred in the hearts, hey, I want to go rebuild, he says, you are free to go. He said, look, it's going to take a community of people coming together, using their giftings and their talents to rebuild the house of the Lord. Amen. So he says, whoever is willing, he just sends a big plethora of people with him. Now, imagine, though, if you're a Jew in this time, and as we mentioned, you've probably grown accustomed to Babylon by now. You've been living there for 70 plus years. It's been 70 plus years you've been removed from Jerusalem, a city which has been burned and destroyed. And you're living in Babylon. You're working for the good of Babylon. And you hear this decree that comes from the king, if you're willing to go and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, you can go. And you can see how the temptation would have been just to stay back in Babylon, because you've grown accustomed to being in Babylon. You've grown accustomed to working for the good of Babylon. You've grown accustomed to building your families and raising up gardens and all these things for the good of Babylon. Now this decree comes and says, you're free to go. And how tempting it would have been just to stay back in Babylon. But it says that there were some leaders who were stirred up by this. There were some leaders, and whenever they heard the decree from the king, their hearts leaped, and they began to think about worshiping God again in the temple and offering sacrifices again in the temple. They began to think about the glory that used to come and invade them and meet them right where they were. They began to think about that. They began to long for that again. So the Lord raises up a few leaders, he says in verse 5, then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And so the same spirit that was upon King Cyrus to make the decree was the same spirit of God that was stirring people up to want that worship again, to want to worship in their own homeland again freely as they had done before. Amen. 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 And so in the next chapter, however, Ezra chapter 3, we see that there was a group of people whose hearts were stirred up. We find in verse 2 that Jeshua and Zerubbabel begin to rebuild. The very first thing that they begin to rebuild was the altar of the Lord. Look at it in verse 2. It says, they went and they gathered their kinsmen, they gathered their fellow friends. Hey, we're going to rebuild the altar of the Lord. In other words, the very first thing that we're going to do is reinstitute the worship of our God. Because God is worthy of worship. And so we're going to rebuild this altar which we use to make sacrifices unto the Lord as a pleasing aroma unto Him. We're going to bring worship back into Jerusalem. It was on their hearts to do so. And so it's just amazing how this was the very first thing. And so they begin to build those stones, and they begin to build that altar, and they begin to worship the Lord our God again. And then it says that there were other people who were masons and carpenters. They were all brought in to help rebuild the temple of the Lord. It says in verse 7 that there were even cooks preparing meals for all the workers, for all those who were laboring in the field. Say, I'm going to cook you a meal. I might not be able to build a temple. I might not be able to lay the foundation, but I can cook for all the workers. I can use the gifting that God has given me. I can use what He has given me for the glory of God, for rebuilding the temple of God. And so there were those who were cooking and preparing meals. Then there were Levites who were supervising and making sure everything was done in according to the will of God. And then besides that, there were people laying the temple, laying down the foundation of the temple. And then we also see that there was the worship band, there were trumpet players and cymbal players. And so a whole community of people just coming together, using their giftings and talents to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Now, that's not to even mention everyone who was not mentioned in here, because we know that whenever they got to Jerusalem, it was a mess. And so they didn't have houses to live in. They lived in tents. That required tent makers to make some tents so that they can camp out on the outside. That required a lot of food to feed a lot of people. So you had hunters and gatherers and those who would fish and gather the food for the community, for the good, for the rebuilding of the temple of God. Then you had those who were in charge of spiritual needs. You know, they were still in a spiritual need during that time. And so you had the priests and those who would rise up and meet those needs. The idea is that everyone whose heart was stirred by the decree that went forth began to use their abilities, began to use their talents for the glory of God in rebuilding this temple. It took a whole community of people. Amen. And so, continuing in verse 10, it says this, and watch what happens whenever the community of people come together, they use their giftings, their talents for the glory of God. Watch what begins to happen. In verse 10, it says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. Amen. And continuing, it says, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far and far away. Now, this is incredible to me, because it says that there were two responses whenever the temple was laid. There was the young generation who was probably born in Babylon, who hadn't experienced the glory of God in a tangible way as they had did in this particular case. And they seen God's faithfulness. They seen the call to come out and rebuild the temple. Yet they seen God fulfill that call whenever that temple foundation was laid, and they couldn't control themselves, and they make a joyful noise unto the Lord and begin to shout with all their might. Then you had the old people, the elderly, who seen the first temple. They knew what it was to experience the glory of God. And it says that they began to weep. They began to weep. They were so overcome with the emotion that they began to weep. They remembered what it was like being in the presence of God. They remembered when His Shekinah glory would come and meet with them. Come on, they just began to weep. That same weeping, that word is the same word used when Joseph wept in the midst of the Egyptians whenever his brothers returned. And so you can imagine Joseph, after just many years have gone by, just longing to be reunited with his brothers, but also longing for the fulfillment of the dream that God had given him to be fulfilled. And whenever he was standing right in front of them, he just could not control himself anymore, and he wept. And so it is with the Levites and the priests in this particular story. They were so anticipating that God would one day restore worship in Israel. And so to see that foundation laid, it just caused them to weep. Caused them to say, man, I am longing for the presence of God again. I am longing to see God move in my land again. I'm longing for this. And to see it happening was an uncontrollable emotion. I can tell you, I experienced this uncontrollable emotion whenever I first came back to Hope Community Church, and there were my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And, you know, after this pandemic, because we had been separated for so long, we were kind of like the Israelites. We were brought to a place where we were not in community anymore, where we could not worship God freely as we did before. We were confined to our houses. We were confined to those places. But to be able to taste of the goodness of God again, but to be able to worship with my brothers and sisters is such an overwhelming emotion. Many, many people who had come here after being locked up just begin to weep because it's so good to be in God's presence. Amen? So to build on this analogy, we're a lot like the Israelites in this aspect, because not only were we, you know, locked up and not being able to worship God as we wanted to, in Babylon, there was a community of people who loved God and who kept the faith somehow. Maybe they met in a more private setting, but it was not the same. It was not the same as worshiping in Jerusalem. You know, we were able to communicate through Zoom and through Facebook, but let me just tell you, it is not the same. Can I get an amen? It is not the same. It is nothing like being in the house of the Lord. It is nothing like gathering together with my brothers and sisters. Amen. To build on this even more, Cyrus issued the decree that you can go and rebuild, and you can go and return to the house of the Lord and rebuild. And their faith and their hope was stirred again. Guess what? My wife and I, as pastors, our faith and our hope was stirred again whenever our governor says, you can meet again. You can assemble and worship God, and our faith and our hope was stirred. Amen. Hey, you know what? 2020 might have been a rough start, but we still got 6 months left. Amen. We still have 6 months to turn this thing around. Amen. There's faith and there's hope. Amen. We're Hope Community Church. And if hope is taken away, then what good are we? Amen. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the builder and maker of heaven and earth. Our hope is in Jesus, that one day we will see Jesus face to face, eye to eye, and we will be in his presence. That is a hope for every believer that is in this place. Amen. The Israelites returned to Jerusalem, which was in desperate need of rebuilding. And as you look around, you can see that Hope Community Church is also in need of rebuilding. There's a lot of empty chairs. We took out half the chairs. And so there is some rebuilding that needs to take place at Hope Community Church. Amen. Just as there was a community of people who came together to rebuild this temple, we need a community of people, a community of believers using their giftings and their talents for the glory of God to rebuild Hope Community Church, to rebuild the church of the living God. We need nursery workers. We need children's church workers. We need cleaners. We need van drivers. We need all those who were doing that which they were doing before. We need those to man those positions again. We need to rebuild, amen, and we need to do it together. Amen. As a community, we cannot do it by our own self. We need you. We need each and every one of you. Amen. So
just to kind of think about Hope Community Church and where we were before the pandemic and before this virus really wrecked our lives, let's just kind of go back at the beginning of 2020 and just think about the vision that God had given us. Think about the goals that we were doing, some of the things. And so one of the things that we were doing, we were evangelizing every first Sunday of the month. Let's bring that back. Let's tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's the most important thing. We were also gearing towards what we called an invite Sunday, where one Sunday, every period, whatever that period is, that we're going to have an invite Sunday where you can invite your friends and they're going to hear a message about the gospel in order to get saved. Amen. Which, following that, we're going to have baptism. So these were all things that we were thinking about and that we were gaining momentum before this all took place. We're also thinking about one big event periodically, whatever that period is, where you can invite families to come and it'll just be like a fun day, or maybe like a family fun day, something to draw people back to the house of God. Amen. We had a goal of reaching 175 people by the end of this year. And you might look around and say, it is impossible. But let me tell you, there's nothing impossible with my God. There's nothing impossible. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take a community of believers to pull this off, to make it happen. It's going to take you inviting your friends and your family and your neighbor and your coworker that you don't like. Invite them to church and let's tell them about Jesus. Let's get them saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. We had small groups, which we started small groups again on Wednesday night with the ladies and with teens. We had prayer every fifth Wednesday. We're bringing that back. We're going to intercede for our city and intercede for our nation. We had this idea to reach the homeless and the needy. Let me tell you a testimony about what happened in the last couple of weeks. There was a guy that says, hey, I read your news article, how you were concerned about the homeless, and I want to build a shower system for you and donate it to Hope Community Church. Give God some praise. Whenever he calls you to do something, he gives you a task. He gives you the provision as well. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We talked about reaching the elderly. We talked about reaching the Hispanic community. We had a system called Cooking for Hope for those who could not cook for themselves. We had this mission going. We had others bringing in bags of food to help out those who were in need. And we also have this crazy idea to accommodate or to gain this whole entire complex. And we're still believing for that. We're still believing for that. Come on. And I believe that just as the Israelites, that they were excited and they were filled with praise and they were magnifying God, I believe that whenever all these things begin to happen, that the church will glorify God in such a way that no man can take the glory, because no man can make this happen. If it happens, and it will happen, it's because of God. It's because of him. It is because of him. And I also believe that there will be singing and celebration as men and women come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, which will affect generations to come. There will be great rejoicing in that day. Amen. The question I ask you is, how are you helping to rebuild? How are you helping to rebuild? How are you doing your part? What part is it that you have to play in this? You know, are you gathering together? And many you have gathered together today, so you can check that one off. Are you meeting together in small groups? You know, just being discipled. And are you serving to whatever level it is that you can serve? So I believe the Lord has spoke this message to me. Just as the Israelites were charged with this idea to rebuild the temple, I believe that God is calling us to rebuild as well. Amen. Come on, it ain't over. It ain't over. This is only June of 2020. I'm looking forward to the rest of 2020, amen? God's going to turn this thing around. We're going to remain faithful to him because he's been faithful to us, amen? He has never failed you, and he will not fail you right now. He will not disappoint you. He will not abandon you. He will walk with you through the fire. Yes, the Israelites encountered enemies who didn't like them. Yes, they tried to stop the rebuilding of the temple. But let me tell you that the temple was rebuilt and the people of God began to praise him like never before. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about rebuilding Hope Community Church, restoring hope, Lord God, to our city. So, Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory. And we ask, God, for your Shekinah glory to reign in this place, so, God. Lord, we need your presence, Lord, like never before. Lord, we need you, Lord God. Lord, come and touch us and change us and make us more like you, oh God. Help us, Lord, to do our part. Whatever it is, Lord, that you are calling us to do, Lord, that we would say yes and amen to it. We would not be like those who stayed back in Babylon, but we would be like those who said, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to believe God that he is faithful. I'm going to stand on the promises of God, and I will not be shaken. God, that is us. That's our heart. We are yours. We say, here we are. Use us, oh God, to bring your name glory, to let your name be magnified in East Houma. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That name we magnify and glorify in this place. And let God's people say amen and amen and amen.
We encourage you today, help us rebuild, help us to walk out those doors with a vision, stop by the welcome desk, talk to one of the ladies and say, hey, I want to help. What can I do? Whether that's helping be an usher. We have two services now, so if like we need nursery workers for both services and kids church workers for both services and van drivers and all those things that help to raise up the temple of the Lord. And we just say, get into the Sunday morning service, find a connect group. You're going to be hearing about a couple more that are going to be open beside on Wednesday night. But for right now, come on Wednesdays. We teach a Bible study and then we split apart and we just connect with each other. And so it's a great way to get to know and have relationship with your family. And then we just encourage you, go out and serve. Go out and serve. You're going to hear some things about that homeless shelter going to open up right behind this building within the next couple of weeks. There was an answer to prayer. I think the phone call came in this week at the beginning of the week. So we love you guys. Remember to give and to love the Lord. And we will see you soon. Don't forget to fast with us tomorrow or show up for Music Mondays. We love you guys. Have a great Sunday.